Well, we're going to look today at financial fitness and how important it is to have our financial life in order. You know, I think most of us, at least at a certain age, would like to get in financial shape because we want to get in physical shape, right? But how much more do we need to get in financial shape? You know, people say that money talks, and usually money says goodbye, doesn't it? I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. And once we get to the point in our life where we feel that money is just a tool and not really a toy, and it's a tool that we use, then I think we're going to be on the road to recovery in the area of right thinking on how God wants us to look at people. Now, one thing we have to be aware of, rich people are not the only greedy people in the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, poor people can be greedy too. Greed stems from fear of lack instead of trusting God. And that's what we're going to kind of get past. You know, if you can get past in your thinking the fear of lack, or that I'm not going to have enough, or I'm going to run out, you know, because having, even though you're low on money, it doesn't help to worry about it or to get in fear about it. All that's going to do is just wear you out emotionally, and it's going to undermine your faith. So we need to get our thinking back to the way that I believe, you know, God wants to see, so we can walk in victory. Our main point today is greed gives to get, but grace gets to give. Greed gives to get, but grace gets to give. Our passage we're going to look at today is found in Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible, turn there. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Then it goes on to say, "The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." So money can't be our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity you've given us to worship in this house. Lord, we know that we are temples of the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and he has given gifts to men. And Lord, we thank you. We just ask for a special stirring today in our hearts and in the teachers' hearts, working with the kids, Lord, that you just bring a supernatural breakthrough to all of our thinking. Lord, we know that just being poor doesn't make you spiritual. But Lord, we want to look at the Word and see what God says about finances so that we can walk in victory and be generous in our giving. Lord, I yield to the gift you've given me. I use it for your glory, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first thing that we need to do is that we need to define our treasure. You know, what is your treasure? You know, our heart always follows our treasure. And it goes right after because it wants to be able to take care of it. It wants to gain more. And what we have to do is decide what's the most important thing financially in our life. Now, I know a lot of people worry about retirement. I know that. You know, planning ahead is necessary. But I do believe also that we need to think about eternity. You know, some people are just waiting to get to the end so they die. But what about the next life? What else does that entail? So maybe that needs to be part of our treasure. So to me, giving to God first is living with an eternal plan. Now, I've shared this. We're not going to go into it today. I may go into it a little bit later. But a simple formula for you to live by financially is 80-10-10 or 10-10-80. You know, you tithe 10%, you save 10%, and then you live on the 80%. Now, how that works is the fact that when you're picking a house to purchase or picking a car to drive or picking an apartment to rent, you got to budget on the 80%. You know, a lot of people try to get into things and they get in over their head and then they can't afford it. I've watched countless people buy houses and cars that they can't afford and they regret it so much later that they're in financial bondage and they cannot enjoy anything in life. So if we choose to live on the 80% and then put 10% away, and then also give 10% to the Lord, that's going to rebuke the devourer and open the winds of heaven. And believe me, you can live on the 80%. You're going to have surplus to share even more than that. That's how it works. I don't know how God does it, but God can do it. He may not do it the way that we want or when we want all the time, but I do know when you get into God's flow, it's the best place to be because you're going with Him. Now, usually we try to put our treasure in a safe spot. Now, back here in these days when they's talking about that, you know, some of their treasure might have been, you know, nicer expensive clothes or maybe some, you know, coins and things like that. And it talked about how, you know, the moth can come in and eat up your treasure. And it can come about also that maybe the trinkets and different things that they get will tarnish and rust, you know. But now I know we have cash and, you know, hypothetically, or plastic if you're really, you know. And we have a bank account. So we can put stuff away there. But, you know, these people, you know, they had to look at life a little bit different than we do. But I still think we'd have put our treasure in a safe spot. And the place we choose to put our treasure tells something about ourselves. Do we want our treasure to appreciate or depreciate? Do you want it to gain wealth or do you want it to lose wealth? Remember, greed gives to get, but grace gets to give. You know, we just don't give into God's kingdom because we get something back. Although that is part of it, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, a lot of people attack people that talk about money and being able to sow into the kingdom to be able to get a return. But you cannot deny it's a part of Scripture. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. It talks about different things in the Bible where as we give into God's kingdom, you know, God will provide a return. That's God's responsibility. God says He owns everything. You know, once we get to the idea in our mind that we don't own anything, you think you own your house, but you're not taking it with you. That house is staying behind. God owns everything. He just, when He gave it to Adam and Eve, He wanted them to be stewards. The word steward is talking about people are taking care of somebody else's stuff. That's all we're doing. We're just taking care of God's stuff while we're down here. Granted, I know I want to get to the end and have a little bit of money at the end, you know, just like everybody else. But, you know, we don't want to be like the person who built a bigger barn and then died and never got to enjoy it. There's so many people that chased after money. If you look at it, look at the people that's won the lottery. If you look at a lot of them, they're broke right after they do it. I mean, they can't manage money. All these pro sport people, they make millions of dollars. It's just ridiculous what they pay these people. But a lot of them are dead broke 9 years after they leave the league. Dead broke. Why? Because they had all their faith and trust in that. Because it doesn't matter how much you get. What matters is how you manage it and how much you can keep to be able to leverage to use for it what you want to do. See? You know, once you people come into a lot of money, if they've never been trained to be able to handle money, you know, it just flows like water through a sieve. That's why we need to make sure that we don't get into the greedy spot and let money be our God. You know, to me, like I say, I know I get back, but I give into the gospel because I believe in funding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ever since I was born again, it doesn't matter if I get to take anything off my taxes. You know, that's not giving. I mean, I'm glad that I can deduct some things sometimes. That does help me in my life. But even if the government took that deduction away, it wouldn't stop my giving. Because I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe because I give because I believe in the mission of the local church and the effect that it has on our community and on our families. I give to the local church because the influence it's had on my children and family. I have a place for them to go. I have a place where they can learn about Jesus Christ and they can be trained in the gospel and, you know, learn about the things of God. That's why I give into the local church. You know, that's my treasure. And I've witnessed this investment for years. Now, I don't really like telling this, but I'm going to tell it, and I'm not bragging or I'm not saying anything. But I was thinking about, my wife and I have been married over 30-some years, and I just did a ballpark number about what we've given into the kingdom of God. We've given around $150,000. That's tithing. It sounds like a lot of money, right? But over 33 years, it can accumulate. And I know we're a single income family. I know there's people that have double incomes, and I know they've given a lot more than we have. But I had somebody, you know, I don't know, they was talking about tithing. It had been a while back, and, you know, we were talking, and, you know, they were saying, well, that's a house. I said, no, it's not. That's a mansion. Amen. That's a mansion. Amen. You know, Jesus is preparing a mansion for me. I'm sending it up ahead. I don't want my finances to be stolen by the devil where the moth and the rust and the things come in to be able to take things away from me. And see, that's been happening for years. The book of Haggai, in chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. I don't know why they put that in there. I'm a teetotaler, but anyway. It says, you put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to be put in a purse with holes. Have you ever had a hole in your pocket? I think we all have. Put something down in your pocket, and boy, all of a sudden, maybe if you're lucky, you feel it going down your leg. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can feel it and you can find it. But, you know, there's things you put in your pocket, and if you have a hole in there, it's gone. And why did this happen? See, the people were not taking care of the temple. It says they were living in paneled houses, meaning it must have been a little better house than normal. So they're putting all their money into their kingdom. Look what I got. Look what I have. I got this nice, extravagant house. Woo, look at me. And they were neglecting their things that they were supposed to do for the kingdom of God. So Haggai, the prophet, had to step in and reprimand them and tell them, hey, check your attitude. Check your ways. What are you doing? And he stepped in, and they had a choice, you know, to be able to repent and move in or not. See, we need to put treasure in heaven to be able to beat back the devourer. We don't want holes in our purses and our pant pockets, you know. And as Haggai was doing that, because they were not honoring God. And see, one thing that we do, and everything that we can do it with our attitude, with our heart, with, you know, our actions, but also with our finances, is the fact that we honor God. You know, what has Jesus Christ done in your life? How important it is for you. You know, preaching the gospel and all these things, you know, and to be able to have places to worship in and, you know, buying Sunday school material and doing all this stuff, it costs money. How important is that in your life? I don't know about you, but when I bought a Bible, I always buy, you know, I haven't bought one for a while because I take care of them. But the first thing I would buy if I didn't have one is I'd go buy me a Bible. You know, I don't care if you got to go pick up pop cans to do it. You go get yourself a Bible. And if you go pick up pop cans, because that's how important it is to you, God's going to bless you for that attitude. And you go get a Bible you can read. You get a Bible you can mark in. I'd get a study Bible. If you need some recommendations, I know of a few. But I'll tell you, the most greatest thing I enjoyed doing when I first got saved was getting me a Bible I could read. Because that's how important it is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ in my heart. And I thank God. I gave to my local church because I was so thankful because they accepted me and they brought me in. I was a sinner. I had done stupid things in my life, but they didn't judge me for that. They accepted me and they imparted the gospel to me and they put it inside my heart and it just changed my life. And I'm so thankful for that. Yes, it's free. You don't have to pay. But if it's something that means something to you, what is your treasure? What does he want to be a part of? You know, how do you want to live your legacy? You know, I'm so glad that people came to my door and they invited me to a church. I'm so glad that that church reached out to me and they explained the simplicity of being born again and what it means to come into the relationship. And I'm so glad I paid attention. Amen? You know, I had to pay attention too a little bit. Now, the next thing we're going to look at is the idea of perspective is everything. You know, first one was your treasure. This is perspective is everything. Remember in the scripture there it says about the eye is the lamp of the body, so that your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, to me, meaning perspective is everything, is sometimes we look at things all wrong. Now, I will say this. I have had financial stress in my life. You know, and God has, you know, used that. It's kind of like putting you through the ringer, you know what I'm saying? You know, just as you used to wring out your clothes, you know. When I was a little kid, great-grandma had one of those things you cranked, and you'd get the clothes out of the wash machine, you guys call it, I call it wash machine. And, you know, you get that clothes in there, and my job, I'd be cranking. You know, I could hardly crank it. I was a little feller, and I'd clank that, and it just squeezes all the water out. And see, that's what happens sometimes when we get in pressure. It squeezes us. But see, sometimes it brings out the bad stuff, but hopefully we're sense enough to repent of that. You know, I'll be honest, you know, people in my family, my blood kin, you know, back when I was young, they put a fear of finances in me. They had been through the depression, and they always told me, hey, save, do this, don't do that, you know, blah, 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 you know, whatever. But that put a fear of lack in my heart. And when I got born again, I had to get rid of that because it was holding me back, because God is a generous God and God wants us to be generous like Him. You know, and you know, I thank God that He set me free from that attitude and that spirit. But putting fear of lack in my heart when I was young, that's just how I viewed the world around me. And see, I had turned that around, but see, that's the good news about the gospel. If you put it in, and if you read this whole passage of Matthew, I started in verse 19, but at home today or after you leave, don't do it right now, read the rest of the passage. It talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. And to be honest, that every time I do that, I get set free. So looking at it all wrong. You know, to walk in darkness is to lack vision. Now, this scripture is kind of hard to understand, but in the Jewish or Hebrew way of looking at it, if you have a good eye, you're generous. But if you have a bad eye, you're stingy. That's kind of what this is talking about. It kind of explains it a little bit better, don't it? Now, Jesus doesn't want us to have a bad eye. He doesn't want us to be stingy. You know, generosity is like making a deposit in heaven. And I'll be honest, you know, I've received a lot of blessings in my life. But I kid you not, the greatest feeling I've received in my life is when I can give. There's a feeling that comes over you when you can give generously into something, whatever that may be. It just, to me, and that's why it's better to give than receive, the scripture says. You still got to receive every now and then. You ain't got to have nothing to give. Don't get me wrong. It's a circular thing. But, you know, the greatest feeling you're going to get in your life is when you feel free enough that you're not bound by fear of lack, and that you can give. When you feel the Spirit of God telling you to do something, and believe me, God will talk to you. Like I always said when I first got saved, you know, I wanted to hear God's voice. Everybody's talking about hearing God's voice, you know, and how cool that was. Yeah, I'd like to hear what God says. You know, God talked to me during the offering, tell me how much to give. Say, what? You know, you want me to give that? But I learned His voice. You know, I'm not saying it was hundreds of dollars. Don't get me wrong. It was like 20, 30 bucks here and there, you know. And for me, starting out as a, you know, I wouldn't, you know, just got saved, you know. That was something. But every time I'd pray, God, what do you want me to give? And I wasn't tithing yet. I didn't have that faith for tithing. But I had faith to try to hear from God. And see, by having faith to try to hear from God, it helped me in my growth process till I got to a level of trust in God where I could start to follow His plan and to be able to give into His kingdom the way that I felt that He wanted me to. So that generosity feels good, because generosity feeds our faith while stinginess feeds our fear. Generosity feeds our faith. Oh, isn't this a lot of fun today? Amen. I know I'm having fun. I don't know if anybody else is today. But generosity feeds our faith while stinginess feeds our fear. See, to get financially fit, we need to watch our diet. If we're feeding on the world's fear, then that's going to take us one way. Are we feeding on God's word? You know, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 33, when you get a chance to read that. You know, once you start to tap into God's flow, and you start to get into God's system, then everything's going to change. And I'll be honest, it changes your priorities, you know, and that's one thing. But see, the good news is God changes them because we allow Him to change them. You know, that's the growth process. When I first got saved, I looked at life a certain way. I thought God was going to do this, but as I grew in Christ, little by little, God turned me a little bit direction. And be honest, I'm happier now because I'm in God's will than if I'd have went and had finished the plan that I had. And how important it is to be where God. See, the world's like a buffet. It's easy to overeat, right? You know, I like buffets, but I do know I usually feel miserable after I leave. It's that last piece of pie or dessert or something, you know, whatever it is. You know, I feel so full, I just don't enjoy it. And it's like that sometimes when we overspend, you get that same bad feeling when you do too much and you overspend on the things that you think you need. And what happens then, it gets us into trouble because, you know, the old saying, it's easy to overspend to purchase things we don't need with money we don't have. And see, that's what gets us into trouble. Now, if you're married, you know, I believe this with all my heart, that husbands and wives need to get on the same page financially so they can work together. Now, a lot of times when people get married, they have two different ways of looking at it. One person might be tight, one may be a spender, you know, and however that works. You got to cycle that out and get on the same page. And to be honest, in my opinion, you need to get on God's page. You know, you may not agree with your spouse on everything about finances, but surely you can agree about what God says. Amen? And you start to bring that into that so you guys are looking at things in the similar direction. Most marriage problems, number one problem is what? Finances. That's what causes more problems in marriage for whatever reason. You know, we won't go into all that now. But, you know, it's something that we need to make sure that we kind of get established and we understand that we have to do it God's way. Because greed gives to get, but grace gets to give. Last point I want to look at today is how we choose our master. And it's your choice. God gave you a free will. God lets us choose who we're going to follow. And that's what he went into here. As we choose our master, it says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. He either hate the one and love the other, or to be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and wealth. Also, translations say God and mammon. Mammon's a word for wealth. So, choosing our master. You know, instead of MasterCard, we need to put the master in charge. Amen? We need to submit our finances to Jesus Christ and say, God, I want you to take care of my... I still remember my pastor. He's passed away now, Pastor Wally. And, you know, he's just a good guy. I liked him. And he always used the story. He said, you know, God was challenging him when he's just kind of starting out in the faith, you know, about tithing. He wasn't there yet. And he held up his checkbook and says, God, if you can find a tithe in this money, you can have. See, checkbooks is what we had to use back then. You know, we didn't have debit cards and all that. You know, we wrote checks and all that. You know, he says, if you, and God found it. God found it in his life. And he was able to revolutionize. And I know somebody that used to go to church here a long time ago. They were in deep in debt. And they gave and started, I mean, it didn't make any sense. It'd been smarter. Well, shouldn't I give all that to the creditors? But they started tithing, and little by little, they got out of debt. See, I don't know how God does it, but God can do it. When we submit our lives to God, and we start to do it his way, God can start to work in our life. You know, Jesus will meet our needs, but he won't meet our greeds. See, that's where we get into trouble. You know, we think if we give to God that we're going to get everything we want. We're going to have all new this and all new that and all this and that. And we can get off base, you know. To me, that's greedy. That's a wrong way of looking at the area of finances. Remember, money is just a tool. You're not going to take it with you. When you die, if you hadn't spent it already, somebody else is going to enjoy what you've saved. You know, and that's fine. Leave money for your family and things like that. But primarily, the fact is that we need to choose our master. You know, have you ever seen that bumper sticker? I owe, it's off the work I go. Maybe you haven't. I don't know, that's an old one. How about, I sow, it's off the reap I go. Amen? It's getting over into looking at things a little bit different and what it is that God has for our life. The choice is ours. We must choose our master. You know, the Bible, you know, tells us that we need to trust Christ more than we trust money. Now, this passage, and I want us to look at this today, kind of stems from There are two different systems in this world that you and I can follow. Now, we live in both systems as a Christian. Now, sinners don't live in our system, but we live in their system. See, there's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan. Or there's God's system, and there's then the devil's system. He's the god of this world. And the sad thing is that we are living in the world system, but we got to be careful that we don't make all our decisions according to the world system. We need to look at it that we need to come out and step back and, like Haggai said, consider our ways. See, the world system, and I know this for a fact, is tied to greed and fear of lack. You know, the world system, people get greedy and they try to accumulate all they can. They cheat, they steal, they rob from their bosses, and they try to take, you know, from other people. And because they have fear of lack. Always worried about where the next money. I know people have financial troubles. I'm not going to say, when we moved back from the mission field, we had used carpet. You know, we rented a house, an old house, and we own it now. But, you know, somebody had some old carpet they ripped out, and it was in like a jigsaw puzzle, if you know what I'm saying. And we put that down on the floor, and it was better than the flooring we had. But we started where we were at. And we always trusted God. We always gave God our first fruits. And little by little, as we continue to follow God, you know, God always took care of us. And He is always faithful. But see, me, I'm an easy keeper. I don't have to have all new stuff. You know, now maybe different personalities are different, but for me, you know, I'm just content. You know, it don't take a lot to make me happy. I don't have to have the newest clothes or the name brand stuff. I mean, that's not something that was important to me. So maybe that's why it's easier for God to take care of me. Amen? You know, and that's, you know, and if you have bigger tastes, you may have to have bigger faith than I have. Amen? So, we all have a master. We need to choose God and to make money our slave. And that's how we look at it. Money does what I tell it. It don't tell me what I have to do. I've made that decision in my life. I tell money what to do. It works for me. I don't just work for it. Remember, greed gives to get, but grace gets to give. And if we want to get financially fit, we need to get into the right mindset, and that's what it starts with. The most important decision that you're going to find is to put God first in your life. Remember, God so loved the world that He gave His Son. We should so love God that we give to enlarge His kingdom, because that's how important it is. You're here today because somebody else gave. They gave of their life, they gave of their time, and they gave of their finances so that we could reap some of that fruit that bore out of that. And I encourage you to do that for somebody else. Let's pray.